Last week we talked about God's familiar words about heavenly treasure versus earthly treasure. Today we're going to talk about God's love, kind of following up on that last message. But before we do that, as your associate pastor, I want to emphasize this sheet in your bulletin. During this search, we should do what?
Pray.
That is most important. The Holy Spirit urges us to pray. And if you can be with us tonight, pray with those that are coming to pray. But if you can't, take this back with you and just pray that God would lead us, not just the man of his choosing, but the family of his choosing as well. So keep that in mind, and let's just seek the Lord in prayer. Also, we have Tenebrae coming up, and that will be in a few weeks. Next week, we'll be giving out little cards again, like we did for the Christmas program, the Lessons and Carols. So you can take that little card home to your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, and invite them to come. A number of men are going to go with me up and down this street again, presenting our church as a community church. So do pray for Tenebrae, pray for the choir, pray for my dear wife Carolyn as she leads in this way as far as the church is concerned. So we've got a lot to pray for, right? So keep that in mind. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very familiar portion of scripture this morning. We read it, but I want to just think about the last verse, or not the last verse, but the next to the last verse. It says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." I think of this idea of looking through a glass dimly. I look at these traits of the pulpit committee member, and I'm saying to myself, do they want Jesus Christ there? But the Holy Spirit's there to give every one of those potential members the ability to share in this very important part of the ministry. I don't know about you, but I look through a glass dimly. It says we know in part and we also preach in part. And that really gets to me. To be able to preach in part, I don't have all the information I need to know. In fact, you know what I did today? A preacher left his Bible behind. Imagine that. So I got my Bible here, right here. We preach in part. We know in part. We're in a dim world around us. We look through a glass darkly, even concerning God. We don't know God as we'd love to know God. Next week, we're going to talk about Job and what he knew and what he didn't know. Everything was hazy in Job's life. Everything's hazy in our life as far as God is concerned at times. Where are you, God? You're not meeting my needs, God. We look through a glass dimly through ourselves. We don't even understand ourselves. We certainly don't understand each other. We look at each other and say, who are you? We look at life and life is just dim looking through a glass darkly as well. So I hope that through this message this morning, we'll begin to see a little clearer. Can't see the whole thing. We're not there yet. Perfection has not come yet, where we know fully as we're known by God. Help us, Lord, to be able to see a little bit clearer who you are, who I am, who you are, and what life is all about. So pray with me as we seek the Holy Spirit today. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Spirit of God that is a teacher today. You would help us to understand you, Lord, in our life. I think of a dear brother sitting right near me, praying for his dear wife. Lord, our brother Larry doesn't totally understand. We don't understand. But you understand, God, and you're with him, and you're with the family. You're with Dave McGuire, and we can't be with us right now. We look at what's going on in his life and for the good work that Michael and Lily are doing for him and all of us. Things don't seem clear, Lord, and we just don't understand what's going on. But someday we will, and we're looking forward to that day. But until that time, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would work in our life and just move us and help us to understand the goodness, the love, the mercy, the grace that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, when you think of 1 Corinthians 13, we're talking about a very important word. You ever hear the word agape? All right, that's the Greek word for love. The model for agape is God. A number of weeks ago, I shared with you John 3:16, and we had those pictures of salvation. Remember that? God so loved us that he gave. What was most precious to him, he gave his one and only son. That if we, with childlike faith, as we said last week, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's all we know about faith in Jesus. That's the faith in God, and we'll never perish. We will have everlasting life. That's agape love. Remember last week we talked about God's intimate, eternal, unchangeable, unconditional love relationship. Those heavenly treasures that are ours, we can't lose. And then Jesus comes to his disciples, and this is what he says to them. As the Father loves me, and I love you, now you love one another. Really? How can we love each other as you love us, God? But that's the challenge. You imagine those disciples, Andrew trying to love his brother Peter, who thinks he's the best of the 12. And Andrew, Peter, looking down at his brother, saying, you're not like me. I have a special in with Jesus. He takes me with him in a special way. You don't have that, Andrew. And then John and James, Jesus gives them the name the Sons of Thunder. They had a short fuse, apparently. They got upset with each other. Upset with everybody else, what we call the dirty dozen. This is Jesus' disciples. And Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, the one who's the traitor, but he's also a terrorist. That's what Iscariot means. These two men were zealots. And Jesus says, now Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, can you get along with the next tax collector, which you hate? Why would he put them together? But he did. And he says, as the Father loves me and I love you, now you love one another. And we have these walls that we try to cross over, loving the unlovely. And then you mix all the women into the mix as well, Mary Magdalene and all the Marys. And you have James, the John's mother, wanting them to be first in the kingdom. And Jesus brings all these people together and says, love one another with agape love. Love in giving of oneself to benefit the one loved. Husbands, do you love your wives as Christ loved the church? Wives, do you love your husbands with agape love? And then there's another kind of love. It's called eros love. Eros, we get the word erotic. And as far as Corinth was concerned, it was an erotic place. It was sin city in the Mediterranean world. And we think about Las Vegas, where they lost wages, they lose their wages. Las Vegas, the sin city. Well, Corinth was a depraved city in the Greco-Roman world at that time. All kinds of eroticism was taking place in the worship of the sex goddess Aphrodite. But that was going all over the world at that time. All this kind of erotic love. But eros is not just that. That's part of it. But eros is what we've heard, I've talked to you about. It's a human trinity. Me, myself, and I. Now, I'm not going to talk about Frank Sinatra again. But it's that type of thinking. I want to do things my way. I'm going to live life my way. I'm going to think what I want to think in life. I want to believe what I want to believe. That's eros thinking. I want to think about you the way I choose to think about you. I want to speak what I want to speak. I have a right to put you down so I can build myself up. That's eros love. Eros love is also, I'm going to tell you what I think. I got to share a few. I realize that, but I'm going to tell you what I think. I got a right to be angry with you. You hurt me, and I'm going to get even. That's eros love. I want what I want. I want it now. And don't get in my way. That's eros love. That doesn't happen here in Evergreen Presbyterian Church, does it? We all have eros love. The flesh is urging us to experience eros love, as well as agape love. So out of the heart of man, the heart of men, the mouth and women, the mouth speaks. But also, we act in eros love. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't get my way. The dog-eat world out there. Dog-eat-dog world. It's rough. That's why the glass is so dimly in the world. We don't understand what's going on in your workplace. You don't understand what's going on in your neighborhood. You don't understand what's going on even in our own lives. And Paul says it right. Life is looking at a glass very, very dimly. So with that in mind, let's look at chapter 13 as we think about eros love in contrast to agape love. The first three verses, really, Paul is kind of being sarcastic here. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have agape, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. That was going on in the church in Corinth. Now the gift there of tongues is basically what happened in the day of Pentecost. That God gave all the 120 people the ability to speak the heart language of the people of the world around them, and they heard the gospel message. That was the message. Speaking in tongues of a foreign language to share the gospel. And I got some charismatic friends that they say, God speaks through tongues of angels. I got a prayer language. I'm not going to put them down. I don't have it. But maybe they do. But then in chapter 14, the next chapter, Paul is laying it all out. You got the gift, but you're misusing the gift. You're abusing the gift that God's Spirit has given to you. He lays it all out. And what Paul says, it's just a clanging cymbal of what's happening in your church, Little House Church in Corinth. It's a gong. It's what I call John Cage music. You know about John Cage? Ever listen to one of his orchestras? He has an orchestra, and he sets a wall between this part of the orchestra and this part of the orchestra. He gets up there, and he starts leading this group over here, and they're playing whatever kind of notes they want to play. He's just waving his hands. Then he goes over here. He does the same thing with this playing. And it's just a bunch of noise. What is he trying to communicate? A determined, chance-filled universe is just a bunch of noise. That's what he's trying to say in his music, trying to communicate the world in which he lives. But the church can be filled with a bunch of noise in some of these gifts of the Spirit of God. And then the next read on, he really hits the preachers really hard. Listen to what he says. And if I have prophetic powers, not talking about the future. He's talking about declaring the word of God. Right now, I'm talking to myself, okay? Let me talk to myself a little bit here. Though you have prophetic powers, preaching the word, and understand all mysteries, I don't do that, and all knowledge, faith, so I can move obstacles, I'm absolutely nothing in God's sight. If I don't preach with agape, for the purpose of coming before you, and all preachers come before you and just to share what God has shared with us so it benefits you and you can grow in it, I get a zero on the report card as far as God's concerned. And that's what was happening in the church at Corinth. Oh, I'm of Paul. I follow Paul. He's the founder of this church. Another group says, no. Paul's good, but I'm a follower of Apollos. He's a good teacher. No. I'm not following Apollos. I'm going to follow Peter. He's one of the original ones. He came from Jesus. He's come to us, and he has a lot to say from Jesus. We're going to follow. I'm going to follow him. The other group says, no. We don't need spiritual leaders in this church. We just need Jesus. And they were divided in schism in the church. I follow Nathan. He's the founder of the church. Oh, no. I remember his messages. I like those, but I like David's messages more. Oh, no. I like Alan's messages more. Oh, that doesn't happen here. No way. How about the pulpit search committee? You folks get together. I want this person. I'm really intent on having this person. You speak into the committee. This person, he really has a love for the youth. We need someone to help us with the youth. Oh, no. We have something with the older people in the church to build them up. We need this kind of a pastor. Oh, we need this kind of a pastor. I have all kinds of ideas in my mind as far as the pastor is concerned. And I'm going to have it my way. That's Eros love. And agape love is I want what God wants. And I'm willing to submit myself to what you want. Because I want God to be pleased in this. This passage of scripture really speaks to us. And then also, then he says, he really gets sarcastic when he says, if I give away all that I have, that's the man or woman, worshiper, that sees the offering plate pass by and they put in a 10 and take out 2 5s. But if I give my body to be burned, that's what I need to do. There was a bishop. His name was Ignatius of Antioch. You see, it was a very popular thing in those days to go to Rome and give your body over to burn because the martyrs were special people. And Ignatius really believed that. He made a trip all the way to Rome in order to be martyred because he thought that's the way he needed to be. But if you do that and there's no agape, it's wood, hay, and stubble living. It's all burned up in the end. You lost it all. That's what Paul's talking about here. If we don't have agape in our marriages and our families and our, we get a 0 on our spiritual report card. And it's just noise. And it's just wood, hay, and stubble. In the end, it all burns up. Is agape love important? Absolutely. It's really important. And so, what do we read? In the next verses, we read about agape love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes for all things. Love endures all things. And I don't know about you, but I read that portion of scripture and I say, there's only one man that lived up to those characteristics or qualities. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at that, maybe you look at that and you say, that's not me. I got a short fuse. Bear all things? The first word is patience. That word patience in the Greek, it says hupomeno. Hupo means under. Meno means remain. Remain under the problem. Remain under the issue. What do we want to do? It gets pretty heavy at times. You want to throw it off, whatever the issue may be, the problem we're dealing with. I want to get rid of this, Lord. I'm tired of carrying this burden. The very first word is patience. Remain under the problem, God says in agape love. That's the first word? No, the only one that can really measure up to here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that?
Amen.
Only Him. So, here's the good news. This is how God, your Father in heaven, sees you. This is what the cross of Christ is all about. In the act of justification, our men's meeting on Saturday mornings, if you're not coming, we encourage you to come and enjoy us. Enjoy being with us. We're talking about justification. God, our Father, sees us as though we've never sinned. All of our eros thoughts are gone. All of our eros words are gone as far as God's concerned. All the eros actions are gone. All the eros behavior is gone. Because He's forgiven it all. It's gone. I think of the Old Testament people of God. God gave me a specific ritual, a little ceremony to prove this. When a worshiper would come, they would build their altar, a crude little altar. They build their altar, and this is what they would do. God was telling them, here's what I want you to do. Take your hands and put your hands on the animal that's to be sacrificed. And doing that, you are taking all of your sinful self and placing it on the head of the animal. And then you take an instrument of death and you kill that animal, and the blood flows out of that animal. Now you take that dead animal and you put it on the fire of the altar, and you watch it be consumed. Where is your sinful self? God said to His Old Testament people, your sinful self is gone. And the wind comes and blows the ashes away. And when they did that, the Day of Atonement, and the sinner came and presented that offering, the sin offering to God, and a burnt offering to God, that's what it was all about. Basically giving of their sinful self, their thoughts, their words, their deeds, their behavior, their addictions, they gave it all to God and put it on the head of that animal, and it's gone. And God was saying, where's your sin? That's why they could walk away rejoicing in atonement, at one-ment with God. Wasn't that a beautiful picture? But you said, you see, maybe they didn't totally understand. Yeah, they were looking through that glass darkly. They didn't understand what was going on. But God the Father did. And every drop of animal blood, God the Father saw that the blood of His Son who would come and die. The Gospel of Isaiah, which I shared with you in Isaiah 53, who knows how long ago, but it's all about this. It pleased the Father to crush His Son and make the soul of His Son an offering for sin so He could see us and have us for Himself forever. That's the good message. God dies, we live. Simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. God proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, not saints, sinners, Christ died for us on our behalf. And therefore, God the Father doesn't see our eros thoughts and words and actions and behavior. They're gone. And then in His place, God the Father takes the righteousness of His Son and He just pours it into our life. And so what He sees is agape thoughts, agape words, agape behavior, agape actions. That's what God the Father sees. That's what happens in the act of justification. And added to that, He says, I sanctify you. I set you apart for Myself. Remember that illustration that from eternity to eternity, that salvation picture I shared with you a few weeks ago. When did He set us apart for Himself? When He chose us. When? Before Genesis 1:1. He predestined or marked us out to be His adopted son and daughter. Then, therefore, He had to call us and justify us. And He sets us apart for Himself to be glorified. It's going to happen. Those He predestined or in foreknowledge, love, knew beforehand He called, and those He called, He justified, and those He justified, He glorified. It's as good as done. We've been set apart to bring glory to God. And when you breathe your last, The flesh is gone. There's no more struggle. There's no more war with those eros thoughts, eros words, or eros acts or behavior. We leave the flesh behind and we're going to be with the Lord. That's what Job wanted. We'll see that next week. Job longed for that in the midst of all of his suffering. It's going to happen. And I wonder about the church in heaven, in paradise. They're waiting for the glorification, the act of glorification, when God the Father will send his Son and the Son will gather us and take us home to be with him and give us back as a gift to the Father, because the Father gave us as a gift to the Son. Remember that? And the Son gave his life and the Father and the Son gave us the Holy Spirit. And so we're waiting for that act of glorification. That's when perfection will happen. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Right now, it's all in part. I preach in part, you learn in part, we live in part. But when the perfection comes, everything imperfect will be done away with. Now we see through that glass darkly. Life doesn't make sense right now at times. But then we will know him and know each other and know ourselves as we are known, the scripture says. Perfection is going to come. The blessed hope is going to come. What I shared with you last week in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of expectation, your kingdom is coming. And I'm going to be with the Lord. And you're going to be with the Lord. And there's no more glass darkly. It's no more a hidden way of thinking. I hope that encourages you. Because that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about. But sometimes we're like little children. We're like politics today. I don't care whether Republican or Democrat, as far as politics are concerned. It seems like everybody's like a 2-year-old temper tantrum baby or child, wanting their own way, and nothing's getting done. And that's the way sometimes we act like that in church. Why? Because in our relationships, because we are at war with the flesh. Justified to being sanctified to be glorified, but right in between, it's spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh. And that is what life is all about in this process. We've been given the gift of the Spirit, and the Spirit enables us to choose agape thoughts. The Spirit of God enables us to speak out of our heart agape words to each other. The Spirit of God is there to encourage us, to help us to do agape works and live an agape life. But we got that flesh hanging on with us, a foreigner hanging on to us all the time. The old nature's gone. We got the new nature, the Spirit of God, but that flesh. So here's the bad news. The bad news is you'll have the flesh to the day you die. That's the bad news. The good news is this. You got the Spirit of God now to help us all to live agape life. And then someday, we're only going to choose to think agape thoughts in heaven. We're going to choose freely to speak agape words in heaven to each other. And someday, when we're with the Lord in heaven, we're only going to choose, freely choose, to do agape acts forever in heaven. And in the glorified state, even better. So yes, now we're at war with our flesh, and that's why everything is out of focus with God, with ourselves, with each other. But hallelujah, the perfection is coming. Amen to it? Amen to it? It's a beautiful passage of Scripture, is it not? Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us through your Spirit, understand your word. Right now, there's some people within our church, right in this congregation, are just wondering, Lord, what are you doing with me? What are you doing with my life? Things are not working out as I'm hoping they would be, and I'm just not sure how things are working. I don't understand myself, God. I understand my fellow neighbor. I understand my wife or husband. I don't understand my children or grandchildren. I don't understand what's going on, God. I just am realistically looking in this mirror in a hazy way. Oh, Lord, help me to see you clearly, more clearly than I have before. Lord, choose to help us to come before you this day and leave this place and think agape words, Holy Spirit, and agape thoughts. Because I just want to please you, Lord, and give myself to benefit your church and what you want it to be. Not what I want it to be, what you want it to be. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.